ist gut.
Thank you, Joyce. Good morning, my name is Johnny. Welcome to the Unity Center for Positive Living. We're glad you could join us this morning, especially if it's your first time. Now I'd like to read to you from the Daily Word with today's opening message. Today's opening message is dream. I turn my dreams into reality. Some of the most audacious, bold, history-making events began as dreams, born in the imagination of those who understood the promise and potential of humanity and work to realize their vision. Even if my dreams do not change the world, they have the power to change my life. Today, I remember those whose dreams were fueled by their hard work, faith, and determination. I look to their example when my dreams feel far away and I'm running low on hope. I rekindle my dreams through imagination, which keeps them vivid. My strength helps me remain committed to their realization, and my zeal renews my enthusiasm to work toward creating the life and the world of my dreams. And from the Bible, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. That's Joel 2:28. And now it's time for Surely the Presence. So if you all join us in singing, go ahead and take it away, Joy. Joyce.
I see glory on me.
Thank you, Joyce. And now it's time for our unity statement, our opening statement. Let's all say our opening statement together. There is only one presence and one power active as the universe and as my life, God the good. And now it's time for our welcoming song. Please join us in singing while Joyce leads us in the welcoming song, In the Garden. Thank you, Joyce. And now it's time for our greeting. Now that we are online with Zoom, please turn on your Valor view to see everybody and wave or gesture to everybody. Nice gestures only, please. And there's also a note that says, seek out any new people in chat to get their permission to introduce them. And now it's time for our announcements. Please raise your hand if you have an announcement. Nobody?
Penny does.
Go ahead, Penny.
We have started the wheel, the medicine wheel on Thursdays at 6 o'clock. We did the introduction last week, and it will be another 11 weeks. So we meet Thursdays at 6 o'clock with Grandfather, if you guys are interested in learning about the medicine wheel. Right here on this same channel. Thank you.
Thank you, Penny. And I see I've got a note on here about our annual board election results to ask Jerry to announce our 2021 board officers. Could you let us know who's our new officers, Jerry, please?
Okay. The officers are myself as president, Hallie Bailey is vice president, treasurer is Eileen Selleck, and the secretary is Joanne Cobbs. And we also have Fred as an at-large board member, and we have Gail Hakala is an alternate board member.
Did you get everybody? Did you announce Penny's name? Penny's still a member.
Oh, Penny. Penny's an at-large board member. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Thank you, Jerry. And anybody else got any announcements? Tom, was there something you wanted to say?
I was just suggesting that we have grandfather tell us what medicine wheel animal that we are having this week. Grandfather?
Maybe we didn't hear it.
What is the medicine wheel animal for this week on Thursday?
Will be otter.
The otter. Thank you, grandfather.
Otter.
Okay, and so now it's time for our unity statement. Please join me in the unity statement. We'll say it together. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God. And now it's time for our song of joy, and Joyce will lead us in Count Your Blessings. Thank you, Joyce. And now it's time for our reading. This morning's reading will be given by Dixie.
You are the light of the world. The town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they just put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5:14-16. I was talking to my cousin Beth the other day. I am sure there were hard things going on then too, but life seems so much shinier. Hard things seem to take some of the polish off of life. We were discussing how the darkness in the world seems to press in at home and abroad, how so many people we know are struggling and hurting. Then we talked about how life so bright seemed so bright when we were kids, how everything was good and how joy poured in. Beth was quiet for a second and then she said, "I think it is up to us to make life shiny." She is a wise woman. It is time to give the darkness a pushback. We can't control what comes our way, but we can choose how much shininess we bring to this life. Being shiny is simply reflecting God's goodness onto the people around you. It only takes a little bit of light to pierce the darkness. You are a gifted human being full of light of Jesus. All you need to do is get on out there and be you. there are words that you can say, things that you can do, hugs that you can give that no one else in this world can. Let all that Jesus has created you to be unleashed, and the world will get brighter. Let's light it up. And this is the faith step at the end of the story. Take a night walk with a flashlight. See how much light it gives off, and remind yourself that Jesus is glorified when you light up the light of those around you.
Thank you, Dixie. That was indeed worth waiting for.
Thank you.
Now it's time for our meditation song. Please join us while Joyce leads us in. May the blessing of God rest upon you. Thank you, Joyce. And now it's time for our affirmations. If you would all please join us in our affirmations. I am the love of God in expression. I am truly thankful for all the good I already experience. I am growing more and more prosperous with every day. I am healthy, active, whole, and happy. I am always growing and expanding into the fulfillment of my potential. And I am at peace, knowing everything I need comes to me in perfect time. And now it's time for our Lord's Prayer. This week we'll be doing the traditional Lord's Prayer. You'll all say it with me together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And leave us not in temptation, but deliver us from error. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Joyce. Now it's time for our speaker. We are privileged to have a different speaker each Sunday of the month. This morning, we are blessed to have Grandfather Roy Wilson share his wisdom and teachings of the Native American and Christian spirituality. Take it away, Grandfather.
Masi, masi. Klahaya, my dear, precious, sacred
church family, good morning. Today, I'm going to lead you on an awesome, interesting journey. A journey of my life. It's a series of several stories of my own personal interfaith journey. The first event I've probably told you before, maybe more than once, and so bear with me, but it's important that I give these the basics of that event because it lays the foundation for everything else that follows. I have told you in the past how I was raised as a youth in a very, very, very fundamentalist church. It was non-interfaith, non-interfaith. We not only were taught that we had to work to convert the Jews to Christianity, but the Buddhists, the Muslims, and all the others. In fact, we had to convert the Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, and then all the others because they were all fraud. They just thought they were Christians, that we were the only true ones. My, what non-interfaith that was. I was in for a lifetime of shocking experiences. Well, the first one took place, and I've shared this, I'm sure, with some of the others of you in the past, how that I had a war going on in my life for many years because my Sunday school teachers told me when I grew up, if I wanted to be a good Christian, I'd have to give up those evil heathen pagan ways. And my shaman in my tribe, he said, Roy, do you see those that car down that road? Do you see that one over on that road? Can you be in a car on that road the same time on another road? And he would say, when I'd say no, well, he'd say, and you can't walk two different pathways. If you want to be a good Indian, they have to give up those stupid Christian ways. But he said, boys, don't get me wrong. Jesus was probably the most powerful shaman who ever lived. It's just that Western Christianity has turned his teachings upside down and made a fuller brushman out of him. So I had that war, a real war going on inside. I was being taught by both of my spiritual leaders that I couldn't walk two different paths, that either the Indian Roy in me had to die or the Christian Roy in me had to die, and neither one would do it. I loved Jesus with all my heart, and I saw nothing wrong in the Indian teaching, and so I found myself as an adult, pouring sweats in the sweat lodge, and preaching sermons in my church. Well, this next event that took place was on the Suquamish Indian Reservation. I was pouring a sweat in their sweat lodge, and it's a 4 rounds of the sweat, and on that first round, there was a Suquamish Indian man in his mid-30s who had entered the lodge. And I knew him personally and his family. And he had been raised in a Christian church with the same kind of fundamentalist teachings I had been taught. And this was his very first sweat. I knew it was his first sweat. I knew that he was going to be experiencing what I had previously gone through. And that war was still going on in my heart and life. But I decided, well, the first round of the 4 rounds, I need to give him the teachings of the sweat lodge. And as I gave him the teachings of the sweat lodge, you're in the womb of the Creator. So when you leave, you're being born again because you had a physical birth. Now you're having a spiritual birth. Oh, wow. You leave the old man behind in the fire, all the negatives in the fire of the sweat lodge. And you come out as a new creature. And as I made those statements, I all of a sudden was like hit by a spiritual tubifor right between my eyebrows. Wow. Because I remembered earlier that very same week, I had a young couple come to my office in the church. A couple that I had just recently before that led to accept Christ as their Lord. And they came and said, Pastor, can we be baptized in water next Sunday morning in the church service? And I said, yes, but first let me give you the teachings of water baptism. So I turned to Romans Epistle to the Romans, chapter 6, which has the best scripture that I know of to give the teachings of water baptism, being buried with Christ, leaving the old man behind, coming forth as a new creature. Oh, that's the same teachings I was just giving him on the Indian teaching of the sweat lodge. Oh, Indian people would look at Christians in the water baptism ceremony and say, what a weird ceremony those people have. And the Christians would look at the Indians and say, what a weird ceremony you have in the sweat lodge. And they're both following and celebrating the very same teachings. Well, it was about a month later, I was down southeast of Mount Hood, out in a very, very wilderness area. Nobody knew we were there. We were so far from civilization. Nobody knew we were there except we Indians, about 200 or 300 of us, for a Sundance ceremony. And there were 16 men dancing the Sundance. I was not there as a spectator. I was there as a supporter in the Cedar Arbor for 4 days of that in support of a friend of mine who was one of those 16 men dancing. But on the morning of the fourth day, as I went into the arbor and then waited and the men came out to dance, instead of 16, there were 17. And that 17th man looked just like Jesus. Oh, Jesus was a sun dancer. Oh, he was affixed to the center flowering tree, Calvary, and he broke loose. Oh, in that moment, my mind went back to when the old shaman, when I was a boy about 12, had said, Roy, do you see those two cars? Hey, and I suddenly realized those two cars were heading for a common intersection. And I found it, and the war in my life ended. I now knew that I could be both an Indian and a Christian at the same time. And that was the beginning of my interfaith journey. Well, the next event took place in 1982 when the Cherokee, Eastern Band of the Cherokee, at Cherokee, North Carolina, had invited me to be a guest speaker there on the medicine wheel for 6 days, Monday through Saturday. And I've told you some events from that, but not this event. I've never told you this one. It was the end of those 6 days of teaching the medicine wheel when on Sunday I was invited to be the guest speaker in the Cherokee Mission, Church Mission Chapel. Following that service, one of the couples, a Cherokee man and his wife, invited me to come to their home for their Sunday dinner, and I gladly accepted. I expected to be there with those two and their three children, but when we got in there, already many others were pulling in. I suddenly became to realize that they were having a big family reunion. Aunts, uncles, cousins, nieces, nephews, grandmas, grandpas, oh, there was a crowd. And following the big potluck dinner, they were just visiting and sharing. And it was one of those Cherokee men of that family who came to me. He was the only one of all of them that had not been at least some of my services that week. He hadn't been in any of them. And he came to me and he asked, how did you do this? And I looked at him, not knowing what in the world he was talking about. I asked, how did I do what? He said, you see those two women over there? With their arms around each other and hugging each other and tears rolling down their cheeks, their faces? I said, yes. Well, they are cousins. They have been fighting with each other for years. One of them is a devout Christian, and the other one is a devout Indian traditional. And the Christian one has been telling her cousin for years, you better give up those evil heathen Indian ways or you're going to go to hell. And the other one basically been saying to her, to hell with you. And here they are hugging each other. He said, see those two men over there? And he told me about basically the same story. He said, how did you do this? Well, I said, I can't answer your question in 15 minutes. Can you give me 2 hours? You know me, I have to have time. He said, I got all the time in the world. And I said, then go gather me 32 stones about the size of your fist or a large grapefruit so they can stand out here in this lawn. As he brought armloads of them, I set up the medicine wheel. And then I gave an Indian teaching from the East. And then I showed that teaching in the New Testament, Christian teachings. And then I showed it in the Old Testament. And what did he do? He quoted Buddha with the very same teaching from the writings of Buddha. Well, now I was still struggling with some of my childhood and youth teachings that you got in the Buddhism is of the devil. You got to convert these people. And here he was giving the same teaching that Jesus gave. And I kind of shrugged my shoulders and thought to myself, well, this is something that just incidentally happened. I gave another teaching. He showed it, the Indian teaching, the Christian, the Jewish teaching, the New Testament and Old. And he quoted Buddha again. Well, that meeting with that man, he and I, did not last just 2 hours. It lasted for about 8 hours and 15 minutes. And somewhere in the middle of all of that, I finally looked at him and I said, how do you know so much about Buddhism and the teachings and writings of Buddha? He was a Cherokee Buddhist monk. By the time we got through with that talk, and all Buddha was saying the same thing that Jesus did, I couldn't help but feel if Jesus and Buddha were standing there with us, they wouldn't be arguing and debating with each other. They'd have their arms around each other and they'd be calling each other brothers. So then on my interfaith journey, I all of a sudden began to wonder, am I an Indian, Jewish, Christian, Buddhist? that was a real big step on my interfaith journey. Well, the next event that took place was a young couple came to visit me in my office, church office, in the church where I was pastoring. And they wanted to know if I would officiate their wedding. The young woman was a devout Catholic. And the young man had been born and raised in the Middle East. And he was a devout Muslim. Her Catholic priest refused to officiate a wedding between her and a Muslim. So they want to know if I would do it. I said, yes, I'll be glad to do that. I'll be honored to do that. The Muslim young man said, well, can you do me a favor? Can you add something in the wedding ceremony that would be Muslim? And I said, well, I'll be glad to do it, but you're going to have to tell me what that is because I have no idea what would be in a Muslim wedding. And I then said, oh, I got an idea. I think I've got the answer to it. I'll take care of this. Okay, we'll do it. I remembered that I had been reading in the Bremerton Sun newspaper once a week. There would be an article. I always enjoyed reading the ads in the paper. And there would be once a week, there would be a one column, short, small article where they were inviting Muslim men every Saturday at noon to a Muslim prayer meeting, and it gave a phone number. So I picked up my phone and called that number, found out where the prayer meeting was going to be. It was in a large building that the Muslim people and men had. I got there a few minutes early before that noontime beginning of the prayer, and a few of the Muslims already arrived. And there was a large stack of prayer mats. And I saw where each of those that had arrived picked up a prayer mat, laid it on the floor, prostrated themselves face down on the mat, and they were praying. So I grabbed a prayer mat and I laid it down with them and they prostrated myself. In a few minutes, all the others were there. The prayer meeting lasted about an hour. When it was over with, I now knew who the leader of that, the spiritual leader of that group was. I went up and introduced myself to him and told him my problem. Can you tell me what I can do to put something Muslim in this wedding? Oh, he started just rattling off, and it was more than I could take. And I put up my hands and I said, hold it, hold it. I can't assimilate all of that. I tell you what, I got a better idea. Why don't you and I do this wedding together? If we did. Oh, it was a large wedding. There were between 200 and 300 people there, at least 200. And about half of them, I would say, were friends and family of the bride. A lot of them probably Catholics. The others were family and friends of the groom, Muslims. I have officiated literally hundreds of weddings in my lifetime, but I have never, never had a response to any of them like I did to that one. It was awesome. They just kept coming to me one after another, basically saying, never have seen a wedding like this before. This is the most beautiful wedding I've ever seen. There were three women who came individually, separate from each other. They basically had the same thing to say. I can repeat the words in the words of one. I've never forgotten their words. She looked at me and she said, preacher, you have no idea what you have done here today. You have not only bonded two human beings, two people together, but you bonded two families, two religions. It was an awesome event. Well, I became a close friend of that Muslim spiritual leader, and about once a month for a number of months, we would have lunch together, and we would share. I would share Indian teaching, Christian teachings, and he would share Muslim teaching that was saying the very same thing. So one day I looked at him and I said, what must a person do to be a Muslim? He smiled gently. There was a sparkle in his eye. And he said, Roy, do you believe in God? And I said, well, you know I do. He said, well, you've been a Muslim and we're not aware of it. Oh, I sat there stunned. Oh, am I an Indian, Christian, Jewish, Buddhist, Muslim? Well, at that particular time, I was also teaching the medicinal teachings in the Unity Church in Bremerton. I taught there once a week for 11 years in that church, the medicinal teachings. And during that time, there was two young women who were the Baha'i faith who were attending. The Baha'i tradition takes much, the American Baha'i, takes most of his teachings from Native American teachings, the Sweat Lodge and all kinds of medicinal teachings. And so they came to me one day and said, we meet, our Baha'i group meets in Port Orchard once a week. Would you come as a guest speaker and give the basic overview of this wheel, one of those sessions? I said, yeah, I'll be glad to. It ended up, they wanted me to repeat for several weeks. And there was a Hindu man, born and raised in India, a Hindu spiritual leader who found that he found similarities and warmth with the Baha'i people. And he would start sharing. He and I then became friends. And we met again and again for lunch. And I would share my teachings and he would share his, and we were always finding the similarities. I then once again became aware of my interfaith journey. Am I a Christian, Indian, Jewish, Buddhist, Muslim, Hindu? Well, my final event that I will be telling you took place on the Suquamish Indian Reservation at the UCC, United Church of Christ. There was a couple that attended that church that had been attending my medicinal teachings in Hansville. And they had gone to their pastor and asked if they could use the conference room of that church for medicinal teachings. And he said, yes. That group was known as the Otter Clan. That group was the largest group that I ever had. I had over 24 groups that I had met with, was meeting with. But that group every Wednesday night would run anywhere from about 40 to 80, 85 people. And so he never attended any of those, but he would peek his head in now and then. And so one day, just before my gathering started, my meeting started, he stepped in and he said, "Can I have lunch with you tomorrow?" His name was Tom. And I love Toms. They're great people. And I said, "Sure." I wondered what he had in his mind. When we had lunch, he said, "I've got an idea, and I don't know if it's a terrible, terrible idea or a good one. I want to know your feelings about it." And I said, "What's that?" And he said, "Well, on Sunday morning, I usually preach about a 45-minute sermon. And I'm wondering, what if I had you, a Jewish rabbi, a Buddhist monk, and a Baha'i, and each of us would have 9 minutes to fill that 45 minutes. Each of us would give a very brief description of our religion, our spirituality. Each of us would sing a song from our tradition, breathe a short prayer of our tradition. And do you think it would work, or do you think I would just really mess things up?" And I looked at Tom and I said, "Tom, I feel that there's only one way to know. Try it." So he did. A week before we had our first session together, he had a meeting with all of us, the rabbi, the Buddhist monk, the Baha'i woman, he and I. And he said, "What I'm hoping is that we can be true to our own tradition and at the same time be in harmony with each other. And I wish you had been there. Oh, I wish you could have seen." Normally, his sanctuary would be about a third filled with his people. But he had put it in the newspaper ahead, and a lot of people were curious, how could something like this happen in a Christian church? And the building was jammed. Every seat was taken. Every inch of standing room was taken. And again, I wish you could have been there. It was so powerful that many of his people came to him afterwards and said, "This is the most beautiful church service I've ever been in. Can we do it again?" We end up doing that about once every 4 months for a couple of years. And I couldn't help but wonder, as we were approaching the Christmas service and then the Easter service, how is that Jewish rabbi going to be true to his tradition and still be in harmony with us on the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, and the death and resurrection of Jesus? Again, I wish you could have been there. It was all, they were in harmony with their own tradition, and they were all in harmony with each other. I'll never forget the Buddhist monk at that one where we had celebrating Easter. And he started off with his song, and his song, I can't remember what they call that little, it's about the size of a tambourine, but no tambourine bells. It's like a small drum that they pat. But he had it, and he was singing his song, "Om, Om, Om." And then suddenly he broke out. What a beautiful voice he had. They started singing, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there?" Oh, I wish you could have seen the eyes of all the Christians in that church. There's tears running down their cheeks. A Buddhist monk singing our song. It was a very powerful experience of interfaith. I couldn't help but wonder afterwards, what if every Christian church of every denomination in the United States would hold off services like that, what would happen? I believe the churches would be jammed, that Christianity would multiply a number of times, because we've been finding God in all of our lives. So my conclusion to these stories of my interfaith journey is simply this. I will quote scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Hear it? The world, the Christian, the Jews, the Buddhists, the Muslims, all of them, the world, for God so loved the world. And from Paul's words, when he said, and God is no respecter of persons, he holds us all. We may be worshiping God in different ways, in different traditions, but I don't believe that God looks upon us as Methodist, Baptist, Unity, or Buddhist, or Muslim, or what. God looks on our hearts. And if we are loving God and worshiping God, we are his kids. Masi, close kakwa. Let us go into the quietness of our inner self. Feel the presence of our Lord and Savior, and warming your heart and soul and spirit. Be thankful to God for his divine love, grace, and mercy. Give thanks to God that he loves us all so, that he loves the whole world, all of us. Begin to realize that we all are on an interfaith journey. Come back to this presence, this room, this chapel that we are in by Zoom, feeling this, that you're ready to accept every human being as a child of God, whether they have accepted God or not. God created all of us. We are his family. Close kakwa. Thank you.
Masi Masi Chop. Thank you, Grandfather. That was a wonderful reminder of the commonality that all spirituality and religion have. And I have to say, I'm so glad that I come to the Unity Church, where we embrace all faiths and spiritualities. Now it's time for our offering. While we aren't physically together in church to collect our offerings, we want to thank everyone who has donated to Unity by mail. We appreciate any checks sent to the church at 800 South Pearl Street, Centralia, 98531. We also deeply appreciate all the ways you give of your time, talent, and treasure. All right, now, as we hold our offering in our hands and in our hearts, let's say our offering prayer together. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. And now it's time for our blessing of thanks. Let's all say our blessing of thanks together. We bless these gifts and send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper. They are evidence of our faith and belief. They do good work in the world and return to us, multiplied abundantly. And so it is. Now it's time for a healing prayer. If you would like to focus our collective group healing energy for someone, say their name out loud or hold them quietly in your hearts. Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for our brothers and sisters and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. Now it's time for our prayer of protection. Let's all say the prayer of protection together. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is.
All is well.
All right, I thank everybody for making our Sunday service possible. You know, please hang out on Zoom here for fellowship after service. Next week, we'll be honored to have Eileen Selleck enlighten us with the day-to-day revelations of spirit manifesting in our lives. And now it's time for our peace song. So I'll imagine forming a circle, joining hands, and singing our peace song. And make sure you're on valid gallery view so you can see everybody. Take it away, Joyce.
Johnny, you're muted.
Okay.
Hey. Thank you, everybody. That was incredible.
Thank you, Grandfather.
Mossy.
That was an excellent message, Grandfather.
Yeah, excellent.
What an exciting life.
Yeah.
God shoved me into that interfaith journey. Otherwise, I'd have been still stuck back there where I was as a youth. Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Thank you, Joyce. Those were like three of my favorite songs out of our hymnal. I really appreciate it.
I love that. In the garden is my favorite hymn.